I remind you that the events of Acts 3, when the crippled man who was lame from birth but over 40 years of age was healed, and that Peter then preached a gospel message. And these events did not please the Jewish leaders. So in Acts 4, they brought Peter and John before the Sanhedrin, that's the ruling body of the Jewish people. They questioned them and threatened them about continuing to speak in the name of Jesus before releasing them. Their threats, however, did not deter the apostles from witnessing. Upon their release, Peter and John prayed with one another in accord with, or with one accord with the other disciples. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. The believers were united and shared their possessions with others in need, and the apostles bore witness of the resurrection of Jesus with great power. The believers had their needs met, as some of them, such as Barnabas, sold lands and houses and gave the proceeds to the apostles to meet the needs of their fellow believers. Well, it didn't take long for someone to notice the esteem in which those who did this were held by others, and to crave this esteem for themselves without costing them so much. Ananias and Sapphira sold a possession and gave part of the proceeds while claiming to have given all of the proceeds. But Peter was not fooled. After being rebuked by Peter for lying to the Holy Spirit, Ananias fell down dead and was immediately buried. 3 hours later, Sapphira also lied about the price of the land they sold, was rebuked by Peter, died, and was buried, with the result that great fear came on everyone who heard these things. Although more hypocrites like Ananias and Sapphira did not dare to join them, many genuine believers continued to be added to the Lord. Many sick people were healed, and demons were cast out of many. Well, the tremendous growth in the number of believers resulted in the indignation of the Jewish leaders and their imprisoning the apostles. They were released during the night by the angel of the Lord, who told them to go and speak in the temple the words of this life. So early in the morning, as directed by the angel of the Lord, they entered the temple and taught. When the council assembled the next morning and sent to the prison to bring the apostles, they were not in the prison, but were standing in the temple teaching the people. The captain of the temple and the officers then brought them to the Sanhedrin, where the high priest rebuked them for teaching in the name of Jesus and intending to bring his blood on them. To which Peter and the other apostles responded, "We ought to obey God rather than men." So looking at Acts 5:21, the second half of 21, through verse 29, we read, "But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, 'The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within.' Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. Verse 21 indicates not only what the apostles did after they were released from prison, but also what the high priest and those with him did. And verse 21, we read, And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now, as we analyze this, we want you to just realize we're just going to break it down and put it back together so that you understand exactly what's going on here. Something we believe we need to do is teach the Word of God and explain it to you just as God intended it to be understood. And if you will take our teaching in that light, we'll be pleased. But is the same word translated and at the beginning of this verse, and it introduces a statement in mild contrast to what the apostles were doing. The high priest has been identified in Acts 4:6 as Annas. Came is used in conjunction with called, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of called. So he came, and then later on he called. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to called. It may instead be understood in the sense of showing time as after coming, after arriving, after he came, or after he arrived. And they that were with him is the same phrase used in verse 17 where it refers to the Sadducees. Remember, the Sadducees were the liberal Jewish people doctrinally. They did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in miracles. They did not believe in angels, and they did not believe any of the Old Testament except Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And they really didn't practice those either. The high priest and the Sadducees called the council together and all the senate of the children. So there, here they are, and they're calling the Sanhedrin into session. They called together as they summoned. The council is the Sanhedrin. Remember, it's the ruling body of the Jews. It's the highest ruling body and was the ultimate authority, not only in religious matters, but in legal and governmental affairs as well, as long as it did not encroach on the authority of the Roman procurator. I've got to get the accent on the correct syllable there, all right? And it's understood in the sense of even, or in the more in the sense of, an emphatic sense as indeed, or in fact, or yea, or verily, or certainly. All the senate of the children of Israel is all the council of the elders of the sons of Israel. It's another way of referring to the Sanhedrin, which contained 70 members. And connects called with sent. They were going to get the apostles in there and have it with them. So they sent to the prisoner jail, or jail, where the place where they thought the apostles were still confined. I'd like to have seen the faces on them when they found out they were no longer there. They were unaware that the angel of the Lord had released them during the night. They sent to the prison to have them brought, where them is referring to the apostles, indicates the purpose of their having dispatched some to the prison. To have them brought is to have them led. You see, the apostles were prisoners, and they were to have no choice in the matter. Verse 22 indicates that those seeking the apostles could not find them in the prison. Can you imagine that? But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told. But introduces this statement in mild contrast. They sent to the prison to have them brought in verse 21, but they weren't there. When the officers came is used in conjunction with found, and its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of found. It's understood in the sense of the officers having come or having arrived or when the officers arrived. The officers, remember, are the helpers or the assistants, and their function was to help or to assist the high priest and the Sanhedrin. Officers functions as the subject of found. The officers found them not in the prison. Of course, them is the apostles. They did not find or discover them in the prison. The officers couldn't find the apostles because they weren't there. The prison is the same term used in verse 19, meaning the place of guarding. But it's not the same term used in verse 21, but has the same meaning. So what are you going to do if you're one of these officers and you've been sent to bring back the apostles and you couldn't find them? Well, you would have done what they did. They returned. Where they refers to the officers, meaning the helpers or the assistants, and it's used in conjunction with told. Its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of announced. They returned, and when they returned, they announced. It's showing a fact in addition to announced in the way it's translated. What they announced forms the content of verse 23. It reports that the jail and the jailers were found just like they should be, except that the apostles were no longer there, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Saying is used in conjunction with told in verse 22, and its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as told. They're saying this, they're telling it. And they were saying is its understanding. The prison, the same term used in verse 21, meaning the jail, truly is a term which sets up a contrast between two statements in this verse. It might be translated or understood as, on the one hand, setting up a contrast between the words which follow truly and the words following but, which occurs later in this verse. On the one hand, we found the prison truly shut, but on the other hand, that's what's going to happen. They're going to find out there's nobody there. Found we shut, where we refers to the officers, the helpers, the assistants of the high priest and Sanhedrin. We found or discovered the prison having been shut. It's used to describe the prison. Its tense indicates a state of being. The doors had been locked, and they were still locked. It indicates an action which had been previously completed, whose result had continued. With all safety means with all or in all security. It was just like it should have been. At least it appeared to be that way. And then there's something else they discovered. The keepers were standing without before the doors. The keepers? Oh, they're the guards. Standing is used to describe keepers, and its tense indicates that the guards had stood there previously, positioning themselves where they were supposed to be. They were there standing guard. Wonder what they were doing during the middle of the night when the angel came and got them all out of there. You suppose they might have been sleeping on the job? Probably, but why wouldn't they be? The doors were locked, the prisoners were inside, there was no threat, they thought. They were standing without before the doors, meaning outside the doors. Before the doors is in front of the doors. Here they are, right in front of the doors, at the doors, standing guard outside these doors, making sure the prisoners did not escape. They were standing guard in order to prevent the prisoners from escaping. I'm sure they were nervous all of a sudden, because if guards were watching and the prisoners escaped, their lives might have been in danger. But which introduces a statement in mild contrast to the first half is understood, as we've already said, in the sense of, but on the other hand, when we had opened is used in conjunction with the second word found. And its action occurred before the action of this second found. We opened the doors. Then, having opened them, we found no man within. We found no one or nobody inside. There had been a jailbreak during the night. The whole group that had been imprisoned were gone. And nobody knew where they were. But within, or rather both within and no man, have been placed in positions of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, inside, nobody we found. Verse 24 pictures the Jewish leaders wondering where these miraculous events might lead. I would love to have seen their faces at this time. I've already said that, but the Lord hasn't enabled me to see them and gloat over them. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Now, continues the thought, but takes it in a different direction. When the high priest and the captain of the temple, the chief priest, heard these things, where these things refers to the content of verse 23, it sets the stage for what follows. The high priest is simply the priest, and of course it's referring to Annas, who was the high priest. The captain of the temple was the commander responsible for the temple. The chief priest is the high priest and refers to the members of the Sanhedrin who belonged to high priestly families. When they heard these things, suggests heard these words, which the officers said in the previous verse, they doubted. They is the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest is they were greatly perplexed, or they were at a loss. They couldn't figure out what had happened. They doubted of them. They had doubted about them or concerning them. They doubted concerning the words they heard, whereunto this would grow, what this might possibly be, what this might possibly prove to be, or what this might possibly turn out to be. They're wondering, what's going to be the result of this? As we move into verse 25, we see the Jewish leaders being informed that the apostles are teaching the people in the temple. Now, let me get away from the notes for a minute. In the temple, remember, nobody except the priests was permitted to enter into the temple. So when it says in the temple, it does not mean inside the temple building. It means inside the temple precinct or the temple courtyard. They were outside of the building, but they were right next to the temple while they were teaching. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then is used to mark a transition. It's the same word translated now at the beginning of verse 24, and it's also been translated then several times. Came is used in conjunction with told, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of told. It means he drew near or he arrived. And it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to hold, to told. It may instead be understood as showing time in the sense of after coming, after arriving, after drawing near, maybe after he came, after he arrived, or after he drew near. One is just someone or somebody. We don't know who he was. It's functioning in the Greek text as the subject of told. Somebody told them, where them is the Jewish leaders, is announced or reported to them, saying, indicates or introduces what he said. It's been translated as showing manner in which someone had told the Jewish leaders. It may instead be understood as "and was saying." He told them saying, that would be manner. He told them "and was saying" indicates a fact in addition to told. He gains the attention of the Jewish leaders with the word "behold." Behold, the men whom ye put in prison, ye is you plural, refers to the Jewish leaders, and this statement, the men, is referring to the apostles, are standing and teaching, indicates what the apostles were doing at that very moment. In the temple indicates where they were standing and teaching, and means in the temple precinct or courtyard. Remember, I've already said it, but I'll repeat it. Remember that no one except the priests was permitted to enter the temple building. So they were at the temple, but not inside the temple building. The people refers to the apostles, the ones the apostles were teaching or instructing. So teaching in the temple, teaching the people in the temple. Those are the people that are there, gathered there, listening to the apostles. Well, in verse 26, the apostles were brought to the Jewish leaders. Then the captain with the officers, and then went the captain with the officers and brought to them, notice those two words, without violence. For they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. Then is at that time. Went is used in conjunction with brought, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of brought. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to brought. Went is simply went away. The captain's the captain of the temple with the officers, is together with the officers, and means that the officers accompanied the captain when he went after the apostles. Now, how many of these officers do you suppose were with him? Remember, they were going to gather up and bring a group of 12 men. I'm guessing that the number of officers would have exceeded that number, 12. I don't know that. They were prepared, I'm sure, for resistance. So I would expect there would be sufficient size group. The officers are the helpers or assistants of the high priest. Brought them is led them. But notice, this time it's without violence. It means not with force. It indicates how they led them. This is in contrast to verse 18, where the terminology that the high priest and Sadducees laid their hands on the apostles suggests that they did so violently. They did not do it with violence this time, though they had done it previously. The reason they did not bring them forcefully or with violence is introduced by "for," which is understood in the sense of "because." It is because they feared the people. You see, there was a big crowd of people there. Feared. And by the way, the people were not on the officers' side. They were on the apostles' side. Feared is worth fearing or afraid of. And its tense indicates ongoing action in past time. I'm guessing they were nervous. The people is the group they were fearing. Now, my statement here is that it must have been a large group of people who had gathered and were listening to the teaching of the apostles in order to intimidate the captain and the officers, who themselves would have had to constitute a large enough group to bring 12 men to the Sanhedrin if these 12 men did not wish to cooperate. Their fear was lest they should have been stoned, where "they" refers to the captain of the temple and the officers. "Lest" introduces negative purpose or result. And it's understood in the sense of "in order that they not be stoned," or "so that they not be stoned," "in order that they might not be stoned," or so that they might not be stoned," suggesting that the people might kill them with stones. Well, they were smart enough to realize that the crowd was not on their side. So they were very kind this time. In verse 27, the apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them. And is simply continuing the thought, indicating a transition. This same word has been translated "then" and "now" in this chapter. It can also be translated but, and, nor, for, lots of ways. It's dependent on context, how it's translated. When they had brought them, where "they" refers to the captain of the temple and the officers, is used in conjunction with "set." And its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of "set." So they brought them, and after they had brought them, they set them. "When they had brought them" has been translated as indicating time in the sense of having brought them, or after they brought them, or after bringing or leading them. It could be understood as a fact in addition to the "set," in the sense of "they brought." Them, of course, is the apostles, functions as the direct object of both "had brought" and of "set." Set them. What's it mean? Stood them. Caused them to stand before the council, suggests in the Sanhedrin, in the sense of before, or in the presence of the Sanhedrin. So here are these 12 apostles. They're standing in the presence of this body of 70 men. And of course, there are officers all around. And continues the narrative with the high priest questioning them. The high priest asked them, introduces verse 28. Verse 28 provides the question and the statement of the high priest, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Well, let's go through it. "Saying" is used in conjunction with "asked" in verse 27, and its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of "asked." It's been translated as showing the manner in which they answered, in the sense of "by saying." It may instead be understood in the sense of "and was saying." It doesn't make any difference. The meaning's the same. The structure of the question indicates that a positive answer is anticipated. The expected answer to the question is yes. So the question is, did we not straitly command you? Where "we" is the Jewish leaders and "you" is the apostles. It is an emphatic way of asking this in Hebrew. Only it's in Greek here. It is literally, "we commanded you with a commandment, did we not? We gave orders to you with an order, did we not? We instructed you with an instruction, did we not? Or we directed you with a directive, did we not?" And implies, "yes, we did." Oh my. He got right to the point. Straitly command is an emphatic Hebraism. It means, did we not strictly command you? Yes, they did. And did not the apostles knowingly disregard this emphatic commandment? Of course they did. The command, order, instruction, or directive was that ye should not teach in this name. Where "ye" is "you" plural and refers to the apostles. That ye should not teach is not to be teaching or instructing, and implies that they were never to be teaching or instructing in this name, which means in the name of Jesus Christ. So they were disobeying the Sanhedrin. And continues the thought, it might instead be understood in the sense of "but." "Behold" is used to gain their attention. "Ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine," where "ye" is "you" plural and refers to the apostles, is "ye," "you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching or instruction." Well, that's what they were supposed to do. And they did it. Sounds like they did it well. So well that the Sanhedrin didn't like it. "And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Well, who was it that caused the crucifixion of Jesus? Was it not the Sanhedrin? Of course it was. Well, they don't want this responsibility. Refers to the apostles, and "us" refers to the Jewish leaders as representatives of the Jewish nation. "You intend to bring upon us" suggests that the apostles are planning a course of action in the sense of plan to bring on us or will to bring on us. Its tense indicates that it's understood in the sense of are intending to bring on us, are planning to bring on us, or are willing in the sense of our determining, not in the sense of our wishing to bring on us. "This man's blood" refers to Jesus' blood, and "upon us" implies that making the Jews responsible for shedding Jesus' blood. Well, they were responsible for shedding Jesus' blood. Did they do wrong in attributing the crime to the ones that committed it? The high priest seems to have forgotten the words of all the people calling for Pilate to crucify Jesus in Matthew 27:25, which reads, "Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children." It's amazing, isn't it, how selective people's memories can be? I know I certainly select certain things to remember and certain things to forget, all right? Just so that you understand, I'm guessing I may not be the only one who has done this, all right? Verse 29 records the beginning of the apostles' answer to the high priest's statements in verse 28. We will not finish verse 29 in this message. We will pick it up next time. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." In view of the fact that this was stated to the Sanhedrin, it amounts to, "We ought to obey God rather than you." The answer continues through verse 32. We won't go that far today. Then's the same word used to transition from one thing to another in the narrative. It's been used several times in this passage. Peter and the other apostles is simply Peter and the apostles, and it suggests that they all said it, but that Peter was the main spokesman. Answered is used in conjunction with said, and its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of said. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to said. It may instead be understood in the sense of answering said. Said, this is what they uttered. What they said was, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Where "we" refers to the apostles is "we must," or "it is necessary that we," and what Peter and the apostles must do is obey God rather than men. Men is the generic term here for human beings, although they were all males in that Sanhedrin. The implication is that God had told them to speak in the name of Jesus, even though the high priest and his cohorts have commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus. It clearly indicates that they were commanded to proclaim the message of salvation. That is, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shedding his blood to pay for the sins of all humanity, and that on the third day he was raised from the dead. So I ask you, do you believe that Jesus died to pay for all of your sins, including the sins which you have not yet committed? Do you believe that God has raised him from the dead in order to indicate that he has accepted Jesus' death as payment in full for all of your sins? Well, this is exactly what you must do in order to have your sins forgiven, to have eternal life, and to go to heaven when you die. If you haven't already done so, why don't you pray right now and ask God to forgive your sins because of what Jesus did for you on the cross at Calvary? Right now, tell God that you know that you're a sinner, that you believe the gospel message that Jesus died to pay for your sins and that he rose again from the dead. And ask him to forgive you and to save you from sin and its consequences. God has promised that he will save you from your sins if you believe this simple message that Christ died for your sins and rose again from the dead. So, if you haven't already done so, why don't you, right now, in the quietness of your own heart, ask God to forgive you for your sins and to save you because of what Jesus has done for you. And then, eventually, when I finish and dismiss the service, I'm going to go to the door, and as you shake my hand on the way out of the door, tell me that you've asked God to forgive you and to save you. I'd love to help you and answer any questions you may have, if you will let me. We recognize that we all have authorities in our lives. Seems like I've had a lot of authorities in my life. They all wanted to boss me around, and I didn't want to be bossed around by any of them. You know how that goes. I don't guess I'm a whole lot different from most of you. I might be taller than some and shorter than some, but I'm sure that my attitude is similar. Unfortunately, these authorities sometimes direct us to do different things which actually contradict each other. In our study in this message, we see the principle that when our authorities contradict each other, we must obey the higher authority. Of course, the highest authority is God. Peter stated it clearly, we must obey God rather than men. We must always obey the higher authority, but when we do, we must be prepared to endure the consequences the lower authority may take. As an example, if your employer orders you to lie when God commands you never to lie, you must obey God rather than your employer. Might you get fired? Yes. But recognize that your getting fired will be God's will for your life. We should never go looking for trouble, but when we disobey a lower authority in order to obey a higher authority, we must realize that there may be consequences. Always obey the higher authority, regardless of the possible consequences. God will have something better for you than continuing whatever that lower authority tells you you must do. Always obey the higher authority. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for giving us this opportunity and privilege to come and to study this portion of thy word. Help us to understand it. Help us to learn from it the principle that we must obey God rather than men. And help us, our Father, each one to be absolutely certain of our eternal salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.